On the way to church this morning, I counted them. In 3 miles approximately from my house through the back roads of Glenville and up into here, 15 different road signs that I passed by. Reading each one of those things, and they're really cool, you know, if you the diagrams on those things, the pictures, just very entertaining, aren't they? Especially the one that says MPH. Somebody in the first service said, that's just a suggestion. I told him, don't let him drive with the family. But 15 different road signs I passed by. And what are road signs for? Not suggestions, you know, but they are there to help us know what's coming. And they point to what we need to do in the next few steps, what's coming up so that we know where we're going, so that it's safe for us. It directs our next steps, our path, doesn't it? If you disobey road signs, what happens? Sometimes you get a ticket. Sometimes nothing, and you're very fortunate and God's grace is upon you. Sometimes you face the consequences of not being in the right place when the road turns and you didn't pay attention. So the road signs, 15 of them, 15 different ones in 3 miles. And, you know, the rotary down there, you know, it, very nice picture of which way to go on the rotary so that I didn't actually, you know, try and turn the wrong way and go against traffic. But 15 different signs. And signs point us to the future and engage us with the future. One more thing. Do you remember back in the Middle Ages writing letters? Some of you are saying, never did that. No, didn't need to. Back when we would actually write letters on paper, post them in the mail, and send them off to family, to friends, to loved ones, that they were used to update people, to let them know what was happening, what was going on, to tell stories of what was going on in our lives. That whole idea of writing letters to engage folks with what we were doing, what we wanted them to know. That's what John is doing here. That's what this book is, right? It's a letter to us by God to tell us what's happening, what we need to know, what is coming. John, this account of the life of Jesus that we're reading part of today, is doing that same thing where he is taking that account of Jesus' life and writing it down so that we might know Jesus, so that we can run into Jesus. And so the portion that we read this morning is part of the beginning of the book of John, the account of Jesus' life, to expose us to the great miracles, the signs, if you will, of Jesus Christ. And it all ends, if you turn to the end of the book, right near the end of the book, John 20, 30 and 31. I can't help it I don't have a great memory, but whenever I hear John 20, 30, 31, I remember a kid's song that we used to sing with our kids and had it on tape, you know, just a few phrases, but it was about these verses. And these verses, it says there, John 20, 30, and 31, if you look it up, it says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these that are written here, are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. There is the purpose of why he wrote this whole account of Jesus' life. But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It's not just so that you know about Jesus. It's not just so that you can see these cool miracles that he did. It's not just so that you hear about the sacrifice on the cross. It's so that you might believe that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have eternal life. That you may believe and have life in his name. We're going to go from sort of the big scope down to the official son story and wrap it up at the end of that. But John's use of some terms in his book, his account of the life of Jesus. He starts off and he uses a number of different times the Son of Man, and that's used in other books of the Bible, other accounts of Jesus' life where Jesus calls himself the Son of Man, and he's called that. 13 times John uses it, but he uses it in a different way than the other writers. He looks at it and says he wants to focus on the glorification of Jesus as the Christ, as God. And so he's lifting up Jesus, his glorification, and his return to the Heavenly Father. So this Son of Man, instead of looking at his suffering, John wants to write about how great Jesus is, that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. It's a signal about the ultimate authority, a sign to look at, where he uses this and points to the fact that he is the one with authority, that he has the ultimate authority that the Father has given him that is in Jesus because he is the Son of God. Not like a son of God like we can be, that we can be called sons and daughters of God. He is God himself, the Son of God, the Almighty God. John speaks of God as his Father and talking about Jesus. And so where it says that God is the Father of Jesus directly, frequently, 106 times in this book, in his account of Jesus' life, he talks about the sonship, not just as a commonplace term, but as identifying him as God himself. It expresses that ultimate authority, and that's what I want us to get at this morning. This idea that Jesus has the authority of God because he is the Son of God, because he is the Christ, because he is God himself. He bears that divine authority. He has an exclusive knowledge of God because he's one with him from all eternity. And because it says Jesus can even say that he and the Father are one in chapter 10, verse 30. Not in purpose, not in being. They are one in their whole person. So it's not just that he's part of, he is one in his whole person with God. And he has the same authority because he is. I want us to look at John again, and you think about John 20, 31, where it says, these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. And if we go back to the beginning of John, it says this. It's like the beginning of the whole Bible. It goes back to like Genesis. It says, in the beginning. Sounds very familiar to Genesis 1:1. But it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus Christ, and the Word came to dwell among us. That's the whole purpose of what he's talking about here. He identifies Jesus Christ as God himself and says, all these things that we've written in this book are written so that you might believe, are written so that you would understand the authority that Jesus Christ, his identity and his authority displayed. He calls them signs and wonders. John lays out that authority through his characters that he puts in here. So I want to go back and the first four chapters, I want to just pick up a few things that are happening there. John the Baptist, he comes and all of a sudden he's starting to teach and preach, and the religious leaders are saying, are you, you know, Elijah reborn? And are you, you know, a prophet? All John the Baptist says is, no, I'm a voice in the wilderness crying out about the one who is to come, that you should prepare the way for the Lord to come. And so he's a voice preparing the way. And then the next thing he does is he turns when he sees Jesus and he says, behold, the Lamb of God. He points to Jesus and he says, here is the one you're looking for. Here is the Messiah. Look to him. And so this first pointing, this first sign is John the Baptist, where he says, there is the Messiah. So you have that, and then you have this wedding at Cana, when here's this wedding going on, and they use up all the wine. And his mom turns to him and says, do whatever he tells you to do. And he says, but mom, this isn't my time. And she says, just do what he tells you to do. And so the lesson, guys, is when your mom tells you to something to do, what do? You do it, right? One of the little kids in the front row was shaking his head no. And I said, oh, you're in trouble after, you know. Jesus' mother turns to him and says to him, it's time. You need to help here. And he turns the water into the best wine ever. You know, they're shocked that, why did you save the best until the last? Well, it was the best because it was what Jesus created. He took water and he made wine. He had the authority over all of nature. In his words, he turned this water into great wine and displayed in this sign all of his power over creation. It displayed the truth that he is God. And it begins this cycle, they call it this Cana cycle, where he then starts preaching and teaching, and people know him and learn about him, and he goes off into different areas. And from there, he's coming back towards Galilee, and he wants to go through Samaria, and he meets what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Samaritan woman at the well, right? And so he talks to her, and she says, he knew everything about my life. Why? Because he was there for it all. He was God. He is God, and so he knew it all. And listen to what the townspeople, after she went and told the townspeople, could this be the Christ who we're waiting for? Come in. And so she brought these folks all out. They asked him to stay for a couple more days, and he stayed. And this is what they said in verse 42 of chapter 4. It is no longer because of what you said that we believe. For we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. First, the wedding at Cana. Now, he meets the Samaritan woman and knows all about her life. And so you see this interaction that John is displaying from these signs and these wonders, how he is the great and powerful and authority of Jesus Christ. And so you then come to the official's son, and he displays again this power over sickness simply with his words. Simply with his words. You think of this passage where the official comes and he's looking for his son to be healed. He's from Capernaum, almost about 20 miles away. And so it's not like jumping in the car and you go drive 20 miles in about 10 minutes and you're there, right? He hears that Jesus is coming back into Galilee. And he remembers, he's heard all these stories about him. He heard about the wedding where he turned water into wine. And so he says, my son is going to die, and I need somebody to save him. Can you imagine that feeling in that place of facing that death, feeling helpless? So he takes off these 20 miles, finds Jesus, and he comes up to Jesus, this healer, and he says, would you come? My son is dying. Would you heal my son? And Jesus turns to him in front of this whole crowd, and he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. Well, isn't it? It was chapter 20, verse 30, 31 says that's what they're there for, right? He said, because of these signs, because of these wonders, all these things are written so that you might believe. But the difference here, he's saying to these folks, all you're here for is to see something spectacular. But there's something more that you need. And the guy asks again, won't you come before my son dies? In desperation. And Jesus doesn't do this spectacular thing. He doesn't do this amazing thing in front of all these people. He simply says to him, go, and your son will live. The official believed in the power of Jesus Christ, and then he went. He left. He says, believe and go. Based on the authority of Jesus as the Savior of the world. And then when you heard the rest of the story this morning, where when he got home, or even on the way, he met his servants and they said, oh, he's better. And he found out it was right at the point when Jesus spoke that the fever left him. The power of Jesus Christ over sickness and death displayed for all of us to see. And you can go on. There's the healing at the pool of Bethesda after that, and where Jesus Christ heals this guy on the Sabbath, and everybody is upset about what? That he did work on the Sabbath. He said, take up your mat and walk. And the guy got up and he took his mat and walked. He hasn't been walking for decades. And what do they complain about? That he picked up his mat on the Sabbath and did work. Did we forget that he just stood up? Right? He just stood up and walked away. He's been at this pool trying to be healed for decades. And we missed it. Don't miss the authority, the power of Jesus Christ in your life. There are signs and wonders that are being displayed throughout Scripture, throughout our lives, to show us that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world. And so, we think about all those things. And let me read 5:24 for you. Chapter 5, verse 24. It says, truly, truly, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. God gave the Son authority to judge and give life. The Father has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. He gave the Son authority to judge and to give life. That's Jesus Christ in our lives. The question for us this morning is, will we believe and go? Will we take the authority of Jesus Christ and put that as the authority in our lives? Will we read what it says in Scripture and actually say, Lord, that's what you want me to do. That's what I will do. I will follow you. I will put you in the driver's seat to take the authority that I have in my life and to put it in Jesus' hands. It's like getting ready to drive around that circle and say, okay, I have a choice coming up to that line. Am I going to take this road? I like that one. That one's faster. I can just, you know, I don't want to go all the way around the circle and have to turn left. I'm just going to cut the corner. That's my decision. Or I can follow the sign that tells me the safe and the right way to do it. That's like the same thing with our relationship with Jesus Christ in our lives. The signs, the authority, the direction he gives, we can surrender our control and give it to him and know eternal life and know forgiveness of our sins and know that he will guide our paths. It's not always easy. It's not always simple. Sometimes all we know is the next step. But Jesus Christ has the authority, and we see his power displayed here in John. That healing the official son with just his words, across that space and time, we see the power of Jesus Christ at work to change lives forever. To believe in who he is rather than just what he can do. The official, he went home believing that Jesus could heal his son. But in the end, you know what it says? That he recognized that it wasn't just his son that needed to be healed. It was he and all of his household. Because it says he and his household believed in Jesus Christ. They became followers of Jesus Christ because they realized it was much greater than just the physical sickness that his son faced. That here is God. Here is the Savior of the world. Will we acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ in our lives? I was talking about signs on the way here, and 15 of them. One of them was a sign that many in our area have totally disregarded. And it's a sign that relates to what I call the can opener. And if you're on my side of town over here, you know that the one bridge that they made beautifully, they refit these two bridges. One is great. They change the hill, and you go down this hill, and you're going down the hill, and it's just wide open now. It used to be these little things that, you know, you'd think your mirrors were going to get ripped right off going through there with somebody else. Second one was so small you could only go through one at a time. They opened up wide. The only problem is they made the second bridge down there only 10 foot 13. They didn't raise it up. So everybody sees how wide this is, and they head down this thing, ignoring the fact that on the road going down the hill, it says, low bridge ahead. So they drove over that sign. Then there's a sign on the right side of the road, big thing on the right side of the road says, low bridge ahead. And then right on the ironwork of the bridge, there are these two big orange diamonds, and it says like low clearance or 10 foot 13 or something like that. I'm not that tall, so I don't really worry about the exact thing on there. All three of those things, totally ignored. And then all these trucks go down, and it's just perfect that it's about 3 inches too short for semis and these box trucks. And they've had like 60 of these things just peeled back like a can opener. That's why I call it the can opener. It's just, be honest now, how many of you like sardines? Boy, in the first service, I had like 2. Here I have like 5. I don't know how they stay in business. They are the most horrible things. My dad used to love these things. The only part I loved about them was opening the can as a little kid. Because back in the old days, they didn't have these click tops, right? Back in the old days, they had these aluminum cans, and they had welded to the end of this can this like key pin, and you could just crank these things back, and you had to hold your nose, but they cranked so cool, and it made like this coil spring, and it was so fun. It just cranked it right back, and it just rolled right back. That's what it does to these trucks down here. Now you think, did he forget he was speaking on John? No, I did not. But it's like that down here. You get this can opener effect, and I've driven down there, and you see this whole roof of the truck just peeled back. Can you imagine being the driver and all of a sudden realizing I blew it? The jolt of realization that you're not going to fit, that you just missed it all. You missed the authority of the government, of the engineers who built the bridge, saying, you will not fit. And they totally ignored it. And they faced the consequences. The authority of Jesus Christ in our life, will we accept it or reject it for our own direction, our own path, choose our own way? But when we choose our own way, got to understand there's a can opener waiting for us. You see, Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I have the authority over life. The question is, will you reject that authority or accept that authority? Will you put your trust in him today? Will you allow Jesus Christ to be the authority in your life? Not just to say, oh, yeah, I did that as a kid. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. He forgave my sins. And boom, on I go, and I do whatever I want in my life. And you see, that is totally ignoring the authority of Jesus Christ. He has the authority to change your life, to direct your life. Will you surrender and make the choices of everyday life according to His word? I read it, and I surrender, and I ask for help to do it. Jesus Christ, as Paul comes to wrap us up today, I want us to think about signs and wonders. The 15 road signs on the way here. What signs, what wonders has God done in your life that you see in the Scriptures that He displays for you the truth of the authority that He has to change you forever? And will you respond? Asking Him for forgiveness, turning to Him as your Savior, trusting Him with the decisions of today and tomorrow to change the way you live, to live for Him and His glory. Lord, change us that we might surrender our authority to much greater authority, to Jesus Christ. I thank You that He has the authority to judge, to give life, to direct my life. Help me to surrender to Him today and to follow and bring glory to His name so that others might know as well. Thank You, Lord.